picture this. You're housebound, maybe sick from a chronic illness, perhaps a form of disability which limits what you can and can't do, what you can engage in the world, a reality for many people. But the shackles of that confinement lifted a little through virtual worlds. This is an international first. The University of Western Australia is running a freedom project, allowing artists and filmmakers with a disability or an illness to share that idea of what freedom means to them. JJ Jagatheesan is a world pioneer in the field of 3D virtual art and film. He's the man behind that project. It's featuring in the Other Film Festival, which is a disability film festival that's been running in Melbourne. It wraps up today. JJ, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
But tell us about the origins of this project. Where did the idea come from?
Well, kind of a long story. I'll try to keep it short.
We've got time.
That's right. I wanted to, you know, recreate the university initially in 3D because I thought it was such a beautiful campus, and I'd worked overseas and come back, and I thought, this is so beautiful. There are peacocks and ducks and stuff like that and walking around, and I want to give people who don't have the opportunity to be here the chance to be here. So that's how it was. It was recreate the campus in 3D so that people can move into that immersive three-dimensional space.
This is the beginning of your experience in that realm.
Right, that's right. Mm. And so, you know, the initial idea was just to have that space and let people walk around. But things happened through serendipity, and we were going to have a launch when I saw this avatar of a beautiful girl walk past and say, "Hey, JJ, thank you so much for creating this campus. It's great to be here. I used to come here quite a bit. And I'm not too far away in real life." So I said, "Hey, why don't you come over to this launch ceremony we're having, and you can be part of it in real life as well, and not only through the virtual." And she made some excuse and said, you know, she couldn't attend. A month later, we were having another event, and I invited her back to the uni again. I said, "Why don't you come?" And she said, "Okay, JJ, I have to tell you something. I'm housebound. I have myalgic encephalitis and fibromyalgia. I cannot leave my home, and that is why I was so happy that you know, you had created this, because I can now come and walk these paths again through my avatar." And that's when I realized...
That's quite a moment, isn't it?
That's right. It was a moment for me. It's when I realized there was a whole community of individuals whose only way of meeting other people, of going out to a disco and dancing with their friends, going down to the beach, was through this. Things that we take for granted, they're able to find again. Now, I'd worked with her over the years, and she grew from a person who was shy and reticent to someone who started giving tours of the campus to other people who had disabilities, and she became a leader. She was my inspiration to run the Freedom Project, where the thought was to ask artists and filmmakers with disabilities or chronic illnesses to create an artwork representing or showing what freedom meant to them in the virtual world, and how using the virtual world gave them freedom, and also if they were willing to share their personal story about what happened to them and how the freedom manifested to them. And we had 40 artworks, which were three-dimensional artworks that were sent in, as well as film. And I'd like to share, you know, one of these stories.
Yes, please.
By a gentleman called Johnny Lane from Salem, Missouri. We had artists from all over the world, in Japan.
There being no geographic boundaries.
That's right, no geographic boundaries as well. And, you know, this was his story. "I feel I was given my talent because of the abuse I had as a baby. My mother broke my neck, an arm, a leg, and 3 ribs. I also suffer from depression and nerve issues. The virtual world has helped me open up more. The Freedom Project is making one of my dreams come true. I haven't been this happy in a long time." So when I receive things like this, and all of these stories which people were sharing with me, you know, were of this bent, and, you know, I was completely blown away. Even though I'd been using and operating in virtual worlds for some time, you know, this was the first time I'd actually asked people to share directly about their own personal real lives. It was profound.
How did that change your sense, as someone, as you say, who works in that environment, out of interest and sort of academic interest as well? How did it change your sense of its potential, of what it could achieve for the people engaging in that environment?
Well, people use virtual worlds for all kinds of things. Mm. So there's a currency which floats, you know, against the US dollar, against the Australian dollar. People run businesses through things like Second Life. They create virtual architecture and sell it. People love to dress their avatars up, and you know, they have a very strong sense of identity with their avatar. With individuals who have disabilities and chronic illnesses, it allowed them to meet other people on an equal basis. Here, when they are meeting someone, they are meeting them as an equal. There isn't this this unspoken kind of body language issues that they find when meeting people in real life. Sometimes, when they can see that there's a sense that they're different from this other person they're meeting, so it's hugely empowering to them.
Is there something bittersweet in that, though, that it is still a virtual world?
Well, I mean, it is. Of course, if in real life everyone were treated as equals and everyone had the same opportunity, that would be the ideal. Mm. But although it is bittersweet, it is also the only way for some people. You know, they don't have any other way, and this is the way they have found themselves again, you know, after they've been lost for quite a while.
JJ, a bittersweet, as we say, but at the same time, a demonstration of what's possible, elements of character that are too often ignored or underutilized for people who can't engage fully in the real world.
It's allowed whole communities to build, you know, and people who use these spaces truly feel part of a vibrant global community. I have started to do research as well on the development of these communities, and 80% of people are reporting that the sense of community they felt is far stronger than the sense of community they had prior to working in virtual worlds. I have been lucky enough to be able to speak and work with artists from all over the world, you know, from the islands of Martinique in the French Caribbean to the Baleares Islands in Spain. So these artists who are isolated geographically,
yes,
their artwork is now able to be seen on a global basis. They're able to collaborate and communicate and work with artists from Perth, from Melbourne, from Brazil. And they're able to communicate with them as well, even though all of them speak different languages, because through the virtual world, I can speak through voice, but I can also type.
Yep.
And if I'm using the type function,
which can then be translated, and
it's automatically translated into the language of the, to whoever I'm speaking to. So I've had conferences where I've had people from five different continents sitting around the same table, and we're all speaking, in our own languages, and everyone's understanding in real time.
We may dispose of real life altogether at some point. Fascinating work. Thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you.
JJ Jagatheesan. He's from University of Western Australia, but visiting Melbourne for the Other Film Festival. It's a disability film festival which is examining his work on a thing called the Freedom Project, getting artists and filmmakers with disability or an illness to share that notion of freedom and their experience in the communities of the online.